Something About Eve, A Comedy of Fig Leaves, by James Branch Cabell. Part 1. The argument of this comedy, set forth as clearly as discretion permits, for the convenience of the intending reader. The shadows here are subtle, for they wait, like usurers that briefly lend the sun, disfavor and distinted, while to run, with flaunting vigor through life's large estate, a fire and turmoil, or like thieves that hate, no law, Lord, save the posturing of desire, with genuflections where dejections tire, the fig leaf's trophy with the fig leaf's weight. Yes, they are subtle, and where no light is, these tread not openly, as heretofore, with whisperings of that at odds with this, to veil their passing where a broken door confronts the zenith, and Semiramis, at one with Upsilon, exhorts no more. Part 1. The Book of Outset. Wheresoever a man lives, there will be a thorn bush near his door. 1. How the Tempter Came. For some moments after he had materialized, and had become perceivable by human senses, the Silen waited. He waited, looking down at the very busy, young, red-haired fellow, who sat within arm's reach at the writing table. This boy, as yet, was so unhappily engrossed in literary composition as not to have noticed his ghostly visitant. So, the Silen waited. And as always, to an onlooker, the motions of creative writing revealed that flavor of the grotesque, which is attendant upon every form of procreation. The Silen rather uneasily noted the boy's writhing antics, which to a phantom seemed strange and eerie. For this mortal world, as the Silen well remembered, was remarkably opulent in things which gave pleasure when they were tasted or handled. The world in which this pensive boy was handling, and now nibbled at, the tip end of a black pin. Outside this somewhat stuffy room were stars or sunsets or impressive mountains to be looked at from almost anywhere in this mortal world, which would also afford to the investigative, who searched in appropriate places, such agreeable smells as that of vervain and patchouli, and of smoldering incense, and of hayfields under a large moon, and of pine woods, and the robustious, salty odors of a wind coming up from the sea. Likewise, at this very moment, you might encounter in the prodigal world outside this somewhat stuffy room those tinier, those mere baby winds which were continually whispering in the treetops about this world's marvelousness, now that April was departing. Or you might hear the irrationally dear sound of a bird calling dubiously in the spring night, with a very piercing sweetness. Or, if you went adventuring yet farther, you might hear the muffled, delicious voice of a woman, counterfeiting embarrassment and reproof of your enterprise. Outside this book-filled room, in fine, was that unforgotten mortal world in which any conceivable young man could live very royally, and with never-failing ardor upon every person's patrimony of the five human senses. And yet, in such a well-stocked world, this lean, red-headed boy was vexedly making upon paper, with that much-nibbled-at black pen, small scratches, the most of which he almost immediately cancelled with yet other scratches, all the while with the air of a person who is about something intelligent and of actual importance. This Gerald Musgrave, therefore, seemed to be the waiting spectral Silen a somewhat excessively silly mortal, thus to be squandering a lad's brief while of living in vigorous young human flesh among so readily accessible objects which a boy like this could always be seeing and tasting and smelling and hearing and handling with unforgotten delight. But the Silen reflected, too, a bit wistfully, that his own mortal youth was now for some time overpast. It had, in fact, been nearly 600 years since he had been really young, a good 5.5 centuries since young Gwivric and his 9 tall comrades in the famous fellowship had so delighted in their patrimony of 5 human senses, and had spent that inheritance rather notably. Yes, he was getting on, the Silen reflected. He had quite lost touch with the ways of these latter-day young people. Yet it was perhaps unavoidable that in the great while since he had gone about this world in a man's natural body, the foibles of human youth had become somewhat strange to him. And it was not, after all, to appraise the wastefulness of authors that you had travelled a long way, from Caer Om to Lichfield, at the command of another author, to put this doomed, red-headed boy out of living. The Silen spoke. 2. Evelyn of Lichfield. The silence.